Griechisch. It's not too complex. Tell me how many Africans died for the baguettes on your Rolex.
I'm Eric Larson, and I'm anti-war activist and organizer in New York, as well as a freelance independent journalist. And I think that with January 15th coming up and something like 100,000 people planning to converge in New York City to oppose the U.S. invasion of Iraq, what's really important to keep in mind is that the invasion of Iraq is part of a larger picture of U.S. policies that is becoming increasingly focused into a sort of attack on people who are not people of wealth, and an attack on social systems and social welfare in general, and even, I would say, an attack on the whole concept of community control of government and of resources and the economy. If that sounds very general, it's because it involves a lot of different things. I don't think, for example, you can look at the U.S. planned invasion of Iraq separately from something like, for example, the Bush budget that was just introduced. The Bush budget leaves no money for the states, for example, to aid them to help them to not cut social services at a time when a war might be taking place, at a time when the economy is souring and states face massive deficits. Now, that doesn't seem maybe on the surface to be related, but it is. If the federal government is not going to help the states out, we're going to see massive cuts in Medicaid and other social services in every state in this country. At the same time, the United States is going to be spending as much as $200 billion to wage a war against Iraq, and then more than that over a period of possibly decades to rebuild Iraq, turn it into a quote-unquote friendly power, and essentially rewrite the political map of the Middle East with the United States. That's a huge project. We're already talking about cuts in Medicaid. We're talking about cuts in other social services at the state level and below. And the Bush budget, in fact, doesn't even include the cost of fighting this war. It doesn't even include any 10-year projections for what's going to happen because of the decisions that the administration has made. And so what you see here is this war as part of a policy to starve social spending in this country, to divert resources into foreign policy adventures that will benefit corporate cronies of the Bush administration, that will tend to beat down and create even more rage among the population, and essentially complete the dispossession of the Palestinian people, for example. So all of this is really bound together. More money for war, less money for social services, less money for services for the elderly, less money for environmental protection, more justification for continuing military spending, and ultimately a complete focus of U.S. resources on building an American empire in the Middle East, an American oil empire in the Middle East. From this point on, really, if this war goes ahead, you can't talk about U.S. foreign policy. You can't talk about this war without talking about the starvation of the inner cities of federal resources. You can't talk about the war without talking about education and how it's suffering. You can't talk about the war without talking about the lack of resources for children, for health care, for anything that would tend to level the playing field between the classes in this country. So we're talking about some pretty massive changes in society. We're talking about the end of any semblance of social equality in the United States. And believe it or not, all of that starts with the decision of the United States to launch a long-term empire-building project in the Middle East. So that's really what we're talking about here on Saturday. We're talking about something that affects every single person in this country who isn't part of the top 1% that own something like 40% of all the stocks and bonds in this country. That's really America's future we're talking about.
You were arrested yesterday. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. I was part of an affinity group that shut down one of the entrances to the Holland Tunnel for about an hour yesterday morning. We wanted to really send the message One is that, you know, a culture of nonviolent resistance is building this country that's going to continue. This culture is building and it's not going to go away. The second point is that, you know, nonviolent resistance is something that anybody can do at any time. So we wanted to really bring it to the people who are commuting, who are going through the tunnel every day, who are using bridges and tunnels in New York to get to and from work, and who have the most at risk if this war goes ahead. And we wanted to let those people know that there's things they can do to resist. You know, you can block a tunnel. You can occupy a government office building or a government facility. You can stop the materials of war from being transported. There's all kinds of things you can do. And so we wanted to maybe show them a small example of what people can do if they unite against something like this.
Change the world, would you really?